The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. In Acts 2:28, thou hast made known unto me the ways of life. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. When he looks upon us, when he smiles upon us, when we see his face, those are delights. Those are the joys of the Lord forever. Now, I want us to notice a few things, and before I do, I'm going to just bring you back into our subject again. We're going to look this evening a little bit into the kingdom. And the kingdom is given to us by inheritance. It was another one of the wonderful things God had in mind for us, plans that he had in mind for us. And that was a place where he as king would be established, and nothing like this world, nothing like its kingdoms. Its kingdom, the kingdom of God, is not of this world. If it was, then his servants would fight. But the Lord has a kingdom. He has in mind a kingdom, which is a place, like we said the other day, I believe it was Sunday night. It was a place and people. That is, the kingdom of God isn't just a place, but it has to do with people. When I say people, not only those who are reigned upon or governed, but also the king with them. Now, the kingdom was a purpose of God to bring us into. However, when God had that plan of the kingdom for us, although it was not of this world, and although it could not be traced as a geographical place in this world, yet, it is in this world. We can come into that kingdom while we are still in this world, although it's not a geographical place, and we're not running to Jerusalem type of thing. But the kingdom of God is here on earth, but it begins within us. It doesn't end there, but it begins. The kingdom of God is within us. So after a little while, we're going to be looking at the place where the kingdom of God is, where it is, where it's not, who inherits it, who does not. We are going to look at the fact that we do inherit the kingdom of God, and I will be making references to last Sunday evening, and that's when we actually touched on the subject of the atmosphere of the kingdom. This morning, we were living in the atmosphere of the kingdom. I hope we're still there. Now, one thing you must know, that part of the atmosphere of the kingdom, like we were singing the song this morning, truth and beauty, happiness, it's all in the name of Jesus, that atmosphere of heaven, of joy, of peace, of beauty, that atmosphere is the atmosphere of the kingdom of God. That's the atmosphere there's going to be when we're all reigning together, when God is through, we're all put together in this beautiful building, the wonderful city of God, where Christ himself dwells in the midst of it. That's going to be the atmosphere. It's not going to be the depression and the sorrow and the pain. So there'll be no more pain. There'll be no more sorrow. And so that atmosphere, that glorious atmosphere, will be there always, at all times. But now, before we reach that state, because I do believe that we reach that state after we die, that place, we come into that place after we die, I still believe that as mature or adult Christians, we can begin to come into that atmosphere here while we're still on earth. And that it is possible to reach a place where you literally and actually live in the atmosphere of heaven while you're still on earth, almost constantly. Now, that is very difficult to arrive at. In fact, flesh and blood cannot inherit that. You cannot come into that on your own. None of us, by anything we do, can arrive at that. You could fast until you die, You won't come into that atmosphere, neither will it be given to you. Because if it did, then it would be sold to you at a price, and we inherit the kingdom of God. You don't buy an inheritance, you get an inheritance. It is given to you, the Father. The price has already been paid. If you were to pray, and prayer would get you into that atmosphere, then again, we're back down to price. But the atmosphere of the kingdom is not something you buy, it's something we inherit. And it's something we can begin to enjoy while we're here on this earth, but there is one huge secret, not small, huge, because everything hinges and depends on this. And without this, we can enjoy no part of this kingdom while we're on earth. Without this, we cannot come in to the pleasures of the kingdom, nor the occupations of the kingdom, nor the glory of the kingdom, nor the atmosphere of the kingdom, nor be with the king of the kingdom. And this, primarily, is the Holy Ghost. You see, when he was given to us as the earnest of our inheritance, one of the things that he was given to do is to start preparing us for the atmosphere of heaven. You say, well, anybody's prepared for joy. No, they're not. Some people you couldn't make rejoice even if you handed them something nice and did something nice for them and said, thank you very much, and stick it in their pocket. It's a lot of work to bring something. And you say, well, you know, some people are just predisposed to be happy. But the Holy Spirit didn't come to find people predisposed to be happy. The Holy Spirit came to find here the children of the Almighty God and prepare them for the atmosphere in heaven. And if they should develop under his tutorship, would come in actually into the fullness of that glory here on earth. But he is the only one, and the Spirit was given to us in measure for that purpose. Now, he's given to us for many other purposes, but this was one purpose. And so reading out of Romans 7:14 again, the verse 17, we're going to look at it in this light. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy, where? In the Holy Ghost. Outside of the Holy Ghost, there is no joy, there is no peace, there is absolutely no righteousness. What we were living this morning and experiencing is because the Holy Ghost was here. He was making heaven known to us. He was bringing heaven to us. You see, one of the principal jobs of the wonderful person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, is that he is to manifest heaven to us. Remember, we're living in another dimension here. We're living in a physical dimension. We don't see heaven. We don't see God. We don't even hear God either. If it weren't for the Spirit that took his words and put it into a spectrum of sound that we can hear, or vibrated our spirit in a way that we can understand is Morse code, you would never hear from God. We cannot hear from God. We cannot see God. We cannot feel God. We cannot know God. And so the Holy Spirit was given, he was the power of the Trinity to make things happen. In his power and creativeness has come down, and he's been given to us and in us for the purpose of making manifest, in other words, bringing into our world the things that are out of our world, the things of God, and making them known unto us. Now, I want you to see three areas. They're not geographical, but they're definite areas, different areas here. One is with us, that is around. The other thing is in us, that is inside, and the other thing is upon us. Now, the Holy Spirit reaches these three dimensions in our life. First, around us, then in us, and eventually upon us. As we develop and grow in obedience to the Holy Spirit and walking with the Holy Spirit, in that same dimensional walk, we rise from glory to glory. We who have the Spirit with us as little children, as little babies, to protect us, to keep us, to clean us up, to give us food, to do everything for us. He that is with us to stand with us and to basically be not your angel of protection. We're not talking about your physical body necessarily here. He is the one keeping the children of promise. You see, a lot of us weren't born, and the day we were born, we say, oh, I accept you into my heart, because we don't even know how to talk. Years go by. Sometimes half a century goes by before we wake up to the fact that we are a child of God. But from the moment we were born, our spirit must be kept, because we are, in potential, the child of God. You see, well, it's not apparent what we shall be, but he knows that he has called us. We belong to him. Our spirit will be his. It's been separated for him, but nothing's happened yet. Although this full range of potential awaits us, although this whole idea of his inheritance plus all the rest that he has in mind for us, because inheritance was just one of his plans for us, all these things, the Holy Spirit has to keep us for it and keep it for us. And so he keeps our spirit until the moment comes of awakening. Now, when the moment comes of awakening, that is the moment, the true awakening I'm talking about, not one of these Sunday school jobs, but I mean a real Sunday school job or a real adult job, when in truth, Jesus Christ begins to reign in our heart and life, and we are given unto him and separated unto him, and we know that we are, something happens. The Holy Spirit then reaches a new dimension. He reaches the dimension now, no longer with us, but in us. When that takes place, new things begin to develop. Other things come on the scene. Other things are made available to us. And that's where he starts the inner development. First of all, he begins to develop our ears, because our spirit, like our bodies, when it is born, it is not born understanding. Please know this. When a child is born, he learns language. It's so easy to learn language when you're just born. Because you begin to develop, go into childhood, they can program your brain in any language, and it sounds as natural as if they'd started another language. Our kids grew up in English. If they'd grown up in Argentina, it'd be Spanish, but it'd be just as natural to be speaking Chinese or whatever. And God, we have to understand that when we grow up, has this child that has no ear. You have a physical ear, but you don't have the understanding that goes with it to put together what it's doing. See, the ear is made not just to listen to sounds, but to put things together. What is that sound? What is that sound for? Is that sound suggesting fear? Is that sound suggesting glory? Is that sound suggesting hope? Is that sound suggesting hopelessness? What is that sound doing? Is it a siren sound? Is it a trumpet call sound? What is it? It takes a long time for the mind to put it all together. Is it language? Is it music? What is it? I mean, we don't receive music through heartbeat. We receive music through the ear. And when it comes in, it hits that part of the brain that defines it and says, ah, I must awaken the soul down here. They're trying to do something with my soul. Quit messing with my soul. And, you know, you go in there and it starts jerking your soul around. Say, hey, wake up, man. They're calling you. Who? They're playing music, dummy. See, our brain knows what to do with us. It knows what part of us to awaken. Well, the Holy Ghost in us begins that process from childhood up to develop us, mature us inwardly. We're talking now about a personal development. We're not touching inheritance yet. We're touching about that personal inheritance. Now, when he's given to us, moves in us, developing those areas, we can now hear. We know when it's the devil. We know when it's God. We know when he's speaking and when he's just breathing. We know when the music is stirring our soul up. We know when it's stirring our spirit up. In fact, you can listen to certain music and your brain says to your body, hey, man, kick it, get with it. You know, and our body starts shaking and doing whatever it's supposed to do, because the brain's telling it that something out there, that sound is calling to your body to get with it. And then some sounds and music call to your soul to get with it. And other sounds and music calls to your spirit to get with it. And you say, well, I don't understand all this. Well, you don't have to. Fortunately, it just works without you understanding it. And the things of God are just as simple. The Spirit knows, He understands, you don't have to. If it went right by you what I just said, you'll still make it anyway, because He's in there working, developing an ear so that you can hear. Then He's in there developing the mind of the Spirit so that when deep calls to the deep or when the Spirit calls, it motivates whatever it's meant to motivate, whether it's to get your body up or down on praying knees or out on a mission field somewhere, whatever it is. He begins to pull the strings on our life. And things begin to happen automatically. You say, well, this business of obedience is so hard. No, it's so easy. Once He's developed the inside, it's just like hearing. I mean, you don't listen to an upbeat music, and I see these people driving down the road, you know, going like this, and their body doesn't know that they've been jerked around and motivated by their brain through that sound to do that. I mean, it's just automatic. They're not thinking, oh, my God, I got to move this muscle now because this jerk in here is... You know, it doesn't happen that way. I mean, before you ever know it, you're going down the road like this. In fact, other people, you know, go down the road. Perhaps you've seen me sometimes just singing at the top of my lungs. People are looking at me, and all they say is, you know, and they're wondering, what's happening to this guy? Well, what's happening to me is that that thing that I put into that machine is doing something inside of me. It's calling to my soul, and here I am. Something in there saying, talk to me, so I talk. He says, talk to me now in another tone. And so I try other tones. He said, come on, get really with it. And before I know what I'm doing, I'm not saying, oh, God, here goes. You're not doing that. I mean, it's just automatic. And the things of the Spirit are just that simple. When He's developed us, when He's come into us, and when He has prepared us, and when the mind of His Spirit is developed in our internal mind, the mind of our spirit, then we begin to understand the things of God. When He does, we automatically do, woo, and you don't know why you're doing it. It's just like when His lovely presence come over me. Do you know that it took a long time for the Holy Spirit to work on your spirit and your heart for you to be able to presence God? Someone who came into a meeting just off a street, smoking or whatever, wouldn't know what that was. You know what that is. Consequently, the reverence is just automatic. You know who you're presencing. But that operation has been done in us by the Holy Ghost, and bringing that feeling of that person into our midst, whether it's capacitance, which is an electronic term, or whether it's magnetism, which is a word in physics, or whatever. I don't know how He works this world. All I know is that for Him to combine those things and bring them into a world that we can understand, feel, and sense, to where it's down to earth, where some of us nutcases can understand it, the Holy Ghost has to really work at it. Now, He has the power to. He has the know-how to. And He's very faithful. He is the very God. And the very God is working in us, first of all, developing the capacity to be able to enjoy the kingdom. What's the good part about God giving us the wonderful atmosphere of the kingdom if you didn't have the capacity to receive it? What's the sense of singing music in here if none of us had ears? Can you imagine us? I mean, what are you guys doing in here? What's moving you? I don't know. If we didn't have ears, you couldn't tell what I was telling you. Why bother talk? Are you understanding this? Are you understanding that if we didn't have that capacity developed and built in here, we couldn't even have a church service? We couldn't communicate. There is no way that you could even sing a song or play it or do anything with it. What would you flow when you sat down at a piano, Danny, and you're playing away and your soul is just with it if you couldn't hear a thing you were playing? Oh, you couldn't even hear the knock-knock of the little hammers in there. Nothing. I mean nothing. You just sit down there, and you're thinking, man, I'm having a high out of this. And someone walking up there, what's wrong with you? Said, I don't know. I guess it just feels good to do this. Well, why don't you do it in the air? Why sit down there and do it? Well, it's not the same. And I used to sit down by the hour playing the guitar when I was a young kid. Man, sometimes it's just lost in what I thought was a spirit. The spirit of something or another, anyway. Man, my little fingers would go away, and his little fingers would find all those beautiful chords, you know, and you'd work and work and work at it, and it was good, but I could hear the dumb thing, too. Do you know how much hard work it is to plunk on things that doesn't do anything for you? Somehow it has to transmit. I thank God that without us asking him anything or ordering his ways, he took the time when we received the Spirit to start developing us inside so that when the time came, we could have a great service like this morning. In many ways, more ways than one. First, we could hear. Second, you could talk. You could express yourself. Third of all, you could be part of a whole. You weren't just an individual. There was something happening to you. You were part of a whole. Plus that, we had inner ears, inner sensitivities that could feel other things far more than just the air conditioning on your body or the heat on your body or whatever, or someone yelling in your ear. All I know is that God prepares us by his Spirit for this world we're living in. And that's wonderful. I really appreciate that. But in the spirit world, the very same thing happens. So God, who before he can give us joy by his Spirit, must prepare us so that we can perceive joy. Before he ever gives us happiness, must work on us so that we are capable of receiving and perceiving happiness. The same goes for righteousness. The same thing goes for peace. God, by his Spirit, has to first prepare our hearts and prepare our minds, and prepare our spirits. Now, how does it happen? It says in Romans 15:13, and we read it already, through the power of the Holy Ghost. That's how it happens. Who does it? The Holy Spirit. By what? By his power. Now, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Joy, peace, and hope. How can they be apart from the Holy Ghost? They cannot. If you haven't got this, happiness, joy, peace, all these wonderful things that are fruits of the Spirit, and you can read in Galatians all the fruits of the Spirit, which are only an operation of the Spirit, is because you don't have the Spirit. And if we have the Spirit, he is working in us. Now, later on, remember, I'm going to go into the Holy Ghost upon us. And when I do, I'll read you the scripture of the Spirit being with us, in us, and upon us. But I'll do that later. Now I want to go back just a few steps because I was taking you out here and just letting you know more or less what the Holy Spirit has to do to prepare us. But what I want to turn back now and do and later tie this in is on the kingdom of God. And the reason I mention this about joy and peace and about the Holy Ghost is to get you a flavor. When we talk about the kingdom of God, we're talking about an atmosphere. And the atmosphere isn't of gloominess and hopelessness. It's an atmosphere of liberty. It's an atmosphere of victory. It's an atmosphere of faith. It's an atmosphere of love. It's an atmosphere of joy, of righteousness, of peace. It's an atmosphere of long-suffering, of forgiveness. It's an atmosphere that's glorious. But that is the kingdom. That's what the kingdom is all about. You detach that from the kingdom and there is no kingdom. Because that's where the king is and where the king is ruling. That is where the Holy Spirit is at his best, in the kingdom. Now I'm going to read to you back again Colossians 1:12. We read it before, but let me tie it in now to this. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, next verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now notice that it says, from the power of darkness. Now just before that, we were talking about the atmosphere of the kingdom being joy, peace, hope, and all the rest. And how did he do it? Through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now notice these two powers. The power of the Holy Ghost brings to us the atmosphere of heaven. The power of darkness takes that away from us. Now I want to clarify something I just said so you don't misunderstand it. I'm not saying that once you have it, he can take it away from you. I am saying that that is the opposite of, I am saying that that is the other end of, I am saying that that is the other power. The power that works, it says, in the children of darkness. Now that power works to bring them under his influence, and his influence, if you want him to put it this way, it's the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the devil. Except that instead of calling it the kingdom of the devil, he calls it the spirit of this world. But it's the same thing. You see, the spirit of this world has held their mind in darkness, it says, because by the power of darkness, he rules in his kingdom, satanic kingdom. And he has tried to reach out over the wall, and he knows he's defeated. He knows that it's just a matter of Christ coming down and taking his kingdom or setting up his kingdom. But for now, we've got both kingdoms down here, and that's what I want you to understand. The kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. Now, God translated us out of the kingdom of darkness and put us into the kingdom of, the power of darkness, and put us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, notice, both being in the same place, we never left the world. We didn't go away from here. He didn't translate us like Enoch. We're still here. What does that mean? That the kingdom of darkness is all around us. But the Holy Ghost is in us. Which brings up my first question. Where is the kingdom? So, when we look at this, let's look at Luke 17:20. And when the Pharisees demanded to know when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them, that is Jesus, and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Verse 21. Neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there, because, or it says, for, behold, the kingdom of God is where? Within you. Now in John 18:36, it said, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered unto the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Now listen to what he says. Now is my kingdom not from hence. Now is my kingdom not from hence. You see, the fullness of our inheritance we can't come into, the fullness of the kingdom we can't really come into until the other side. But we can come into it now, but we have to live with the kingdom of God together with the kingdom of darkness. And that's what I want you to know. You don't so live the atmosphere of heaven on earth that hell can't get to you. Because it's here. We are living in the midst of the prince of the power of darkness. We are walking on his streets, living in his houses, working with his money. You know what I'm getting at here? And at the same time, the Holy Ghost, which is in us, preparing us now to perceive out of heaven the things that correspond to us as inheritors of it, slowly and surely begins to give us of his kingdom while we're still here. And that's why it seems like it's a teeter-totter. Sometimes you're in one kingdom, sometimes we are. We're living, breathing, operating, working, and everything else in the kingdom of darkness and the spirit of this world. The spirit of this world is everywhere. Look, sometimes we bring it into church. I come down from a mountain, I come down here. Now look at this, I feel like breaking these tables of law. What are you guys doing down there? You know, but I have to remember that you folks, even deeper than I, because I escape it, I stay on the perimeters of it, but I still have to live in it, and the devil does get to me. But you folks are out there, and sometimes it's just hard to escape the spirit of the world. You listen to how they talk, you listen to their philosophies all day long, it's either the radio or the television or the people or the nation or the politics or whatever, and your head is full like this, and you come in here and say, God, I don't know which is which, and you just bring this air of yuck with you. What do we have to do? We have to climb out of here. We have to rise out of that kingdom of darkness into a kingdom that's also ours if we'll work to do it. Really work to do it. Now, I'd like to make an observation now. I'm going to leave my subject entirely. The Spirit just said to me, stop right here and tell them this. So I'm a little bit strange up here. You're just going to have to work with me. There's one thing the devil can't do. I said this to the ministers at the table today. And it wasn't even in my mind. The Spirit said, stop and tell them this. The devil can't bend over. The spirit of this world, he said, I will ascend. He can't bend down. He cannot be lowly. It's not that he doesn't want to. He cannot be lowly. He cannot come under. He cannot repent. And any time that we have a lot of this activity and atmosphere of the kingdom of darkness around, or of this world when we bring it in, the Lord has done something very unique for us. The devil's out here waiting for us. He's got all his swords out, all his shields out. He's got all his black friends out here with him. Big old huge wings with spurs on the end like some horrible bird. And they're out here just waiting to get anybody just so much as opens their mouth to sing, let alone anybody else. Here they are, all waiting for you. We have to find the door into the presence of the King, you know. Do you know what it's like to go through all those things? You have any idea what it's like to go through that spirit of darkness, of blackness, of heaviness? My, we get our little swords out and hope that the Holy Spirit pulls His great big sword out, and we could even call, please, Michael, help! You know, His great big sword out here. We got war down here. The Spirit wants us to notice an observation. A couple Friday nights ago, not this one, but the last one before that, we had a real lousy service. They were ready for us. They came and crashed our party. We just had a great Wednesday, and they were all waiting for us here. Man, we lost it. Sunday morning, we came back here, and I just stood here with my arms upraised. You know what I did? I used the greatest weapon I know, weakness. All I started to do is just shrink, absolutely shrink till I could feel myself down into my feet. And when I was down there, I saw the door and walked right through it. And these guys were saying, where'd he go? Where'd he go? They can't bend. They can't bow. They can't come down. They don't know anything about lowliness. They don't know anything about repentance. They don't know anything about weakness. And I slipped right between their feet, and we had one glorious time. This time, they did the same thing. Friday night, they ruined our party, or tried to, except for some. Sunday morning, they were all waiting for us this morning. This time, he knew I couldn't do that, because he was waiting for me. You know, you had a few down here at this level like that with their swords waiting. They can't bow down, but there's some that are lower than others, the smaller guys, you know. And you know what happened? He'd worked on you guys, and you know what the Holy Spirit did? He brought all of you down. In repentance. He just clobbered the lot of you and you went down. Just asking Him for His forgiveness. And when you were down, you looked up and you saw this door of light. And you went right on through it. And all these devils saying, where'd they go? Where'd all these guys go? It can't be. We just had them here. My daughter had a better imagery of this. So we're all flying along. And then suddenly God hits us and we landed and hit the floor, hit the deck, repented. And then came right up on the other side of this wall. There was a gap down at the bottom. We just went right through it down at the bottom. And the devil came flying around, right in the wall. I love it. The observation is just so you learn. Lowliness is something great. Lowliness sometimes is the greatest weapon there is. So I wanted to show you something. That the Holy Spirit working, sometimes you say, well, I don't know what He's doing. Look what He's doing. Now the paths of lowliness are as easy and as simple and as an automatic. You don't even know what you were doing. But you see, He knows what He's doing. And He just wants to come back now and show you what He was doing so that you know it now. And even if you forget it, He still knows it. And there's going to be time to time. You say, God, why'd you clobber us this way? He said, either that or you had a lousy service. I'll be clobbered. Thank you very much. I mean, what's being clobbered for 10 minutes and then having 2 hours of glory? Huh? I'll take it any day, wouldn't you? I'm glad I'm me and not a devil. I'd have the sorest head right now against that wall. Oh, brother. You know, for some of us that are still fighting that that's something that the Holy Spirit has to do to make you lowly and come down like that, you better start sliding quick and not stand up there with your head up high, because you can get that wall yourself sometimes. You can plug right into it. You know what I mean? And so God works with us. He is a spirit of lowliness and meekness. And sometimes the Lord has to take us down. Just let him take him down. He knows what he's doing. But sometimes when he takes us down is when we go up the highest. Sometimes when he does this is when we're at our best. And so there you go. There's the observation. Now I can come back here. All right. Now we were, where's the kingdom of God? So taking back on this, the kingdom of God is where? Within us. We're in a world of darkness. We're in a world where we have to live with a kingdom of darkness. But the kingdom of God is within us. And we, although we're sharing this together, we're going to have a lot of fights. And that's where I left off. We're going to have a lot of battles. We're going to have a lot of struggles. He's going to get a lot of his licks in. And God sometimes has to lick us too for the other purpose. And that's where I got off. But you see, what happens here is that we have to understand that God's not going to give us all his kingdom now. God didn't come to establish his kingdom on the earth. There'll be a day when that will happen. We know about that. And I presume sometimes we have questions before God, and we want to know, Lord, you know why? When we have your Holy Spirit and we're living in an atmosphere of victory, why does this devil still plug at us? I mean, why don't you just keep the walls out there where he doesn't touch us? Well, one of the reasons is development. From the moment you gave your heart to God, you are no longer punished by circumstances or by the devil for anything you did, because if God did that, he would be totally and absolutely unjust. Why? Because 2,000 years ago, God said the price, the full price for all sin and all damnation was paid in full. So if he takes another couple payments after that, even in our world, if someone took two more payments more at the end of your contract, what would you do? I mean, even the law would protect you, wouldn't they? They would make those people give it back with the interest. Well, why then would God make you pay for something that was paid in full? I mean, it doesn't work that way. So what God does is he lets them share the world with us, or us share the world with them. I think it's that way. I think they share the world with us. It's our world. And what happens here is that the devil, who took something from us, has to then give it back. And as somebody observed from what Ricky Godwin said the other day, Godwin, who was it, you, Bill? It's the enemy that had to give it back. Who at the table said that today? Gary. It's the devil, it's the enemy. He said, if a crook or if a thief takes something, he has to give it back. Who's the thief? Who did God give the world to first? Us, Adam. He said, I leave you in charge of the whole world. Here's the whole world. After the devil beguiled Eve and Adam fell, we lost this kingdom. The whole world that was given to us, we lost. He took it from us. He stole it from us. But God said, he that stealeth, the thief has to give back four times more than he took. I'm liking this. He can have it. But as far as I'm concerned, it's our world. He's in it. Now, God knows why he's in it. First of all, because there's children of darkness, children that belong to him. Now, we've touched on that before. But also because God's kingdom will be worked in us at a higher rate or speed with opposition than without it. God needs opposition. God needs the enemy to stir us, to provoke us, to do whatever. And then he gives us the victory. He could have left the devil out of it. He could have left his kingdom out of it. But the first thing you need to know is that the kingdom of God is within us, but we share it together with the devil, whose kingdom is all around us and without us. So we have a kingdom within, and we have a kingdom without. When, in ourselves, we yield to the outward world, we have all these problems with the outward kingdom. When we live in the Spirit and are ruled by the Spirit, we live above that world, because the Spirit who is within us is an island within the ocean. It just can't touch you. You can live above it. You can have a disease, you can have a problem, but you live in victory. You live above it because the Spirit is in you. And so the first thing we want to learn is the placement. So let's go back now and tie up these little ends. First, we inherit the kingdom. Second, The kingdom mainly has to do with people and atmosphere and a king. Third, the kingdom of God is placed within us in the midst of the power of darkness. Why God did it that way, we don't fully know, but we do know that that is where it is. I want to touch now, as long as I've touched on the power of darkness, let me touch, and I'll finish with this tonight, let me touch on who don't inherit the kingdom of God, because some of us might think that God is so gracious and so loving and whatever that anybody can inherit it, anybody can come in, you know, and the Holy Spirit is so powerful that He can work on anybody and whatever. But I want you to know that the Scriptures very definitely and very clearly state that there are people, and mentions who they are, or types of people, who do not inherit the kingdom of heaven. And so let's look at these. I won't have time to look at those who do, the type of people who do, and then the rest of it. We'll look at that later. Matthew 7:21, if you would, if you look with me. Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord. Now remember something. I said that there is, that the kingdom is an atmosphere, a people, and a ruler or a king. So not everybody that says to me, you're my king, I belong to your kingdom, belongs to my kingdom. In other words, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into my kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven. Now, I couldn't separate this verse, so here now you're beginning to see who doesn't and who does. There are many who say that I am the Lord, but I am not. But if you want to know exactly who it is that does inherit the kingdom, it's those who do my will. It's those who do the will of my Father which is in heaven. So if you see this verse come up later where we say who does, you'll know why. I just didn't know how to separate that verse, okay? In Matthew 13:41. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. Now listen to this. Did you notice something here? He shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom. Out of his kingdom. That means, now this brings me into the other point, so listen on, or you're going to lose this. We not only have the kingdom of God in us, but when we come together, we together form that kingdom. Now the kingdom in us is pure because the Holy Ghost is pure. But when now we have the kingdom of God as a body, in that body come many people who are there and are placed there strategically by the enemy. They are religious people, but they cause offense and stumbling and hurt and sorrow, and God lets them grow up together. Now, we're talking about the kingdom. We're not talking about the world. We're talking about His kingdom. And so let's use the word church here for just a moment that isn't really related in that sense. But if we think of the church as a body, then you'll be able to understand this. That as a body, they're not all in the body that should. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, is in the kingdom, but not only cometh into the kingdom, they're already in. And so at the end of time, God sends His angels forth to take them out before He takes the kingdom up. Before He takes those true ones that are the kingdom of God as a body up out of this world. Now you can put that poster, preacher, I don't care where you put it. There's going to come a time where at your death, you're going to leave this world. God said He sent His angels to take out of the kingdom all things which offend. Now remember that they must have been in it in order to be taken out of it. And it wasn't speaking of the kingdom of darkness, it was speaking of His kingdom. All things that offend, and them, that's people, first things, then people, which do iniquity. So even if they made it in for a while and enjoyed it together with the rest, they won't remain. Those who do iniquity. All right? Didn't say those who fall, the just shall fall. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And he's talking about the children of God. Now, so don't go letting the devil here hammer you over this. We're talking about those that do iniquity, not who fall in sin. In Matthew 13:42, now the next verse. After he sends his angels forth to gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and all them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And in Matthew 19:23, then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that the rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now he didn't say they wouldn't. He just said it would be extremely hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom. Remember, our subject now at this particular point is who don't come into the kingdom. So we've learned a few things. We've learned, first of all, that there's a lot to say, Lord, O Lord, but if they do iniquity and remain in iniquity and perform iniquity, that they are taken out. Then second, we are learning that the rich people hardly can enter, very difficultly. In the second verse, 19:24 Matthew. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now here's that principle we were talking about a little while ago, where you go under and go small, and you come up on the other side of glory. He said it's hard for them to come down and be small. Now in 1 Corinthians 6:9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Now, who of us is not unrighteous? I think we all are. There's one thing. He is our righteousness. So who is it speaking of? It's speaking of those who stand in their unrighteousness without the righteousness of Christ. And he is saying that all the plans of the Father, even if they're in the church today, is not necessarily for them. And even if they entered it and enjoyed it for a while and were under the canopy of it for a while, they shall be taken out. Note that. All right? Now let's go on. Shall not inherit the... We're still in 1 Corinthians 6:9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? I don't want you deceived. I want you to know that neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, verse 10, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Think of it. They shall, and shall is a very strong word in the scripture, they shall not. It's not God says, well, they won't. He said, they shall not. That's as sure as never. And that's quite a list. They shall not. And so it's not just a matter of everybody jumping in and belonging to the kingdom of heaven. He said, there's a group of people who don't, and I'm showing you which don't. He said, I don't want you deceived. I want you to understand. I want you to understand that these people who give themselves to this and live this way, although they be in a church, call themselves whatever they want to call themselves, say that I'm their Lord, call me Lord Jesus, and all you want, the day's going to come when my angels, who know who they are going to pluck them out of the kingdom before I receive my kingdom. They won't be there. And I'm going back to Matthew 13. You know where we went back to Matthew 13:41, and we read 42. For the Son of Man shall send forth his angels and gather out of the kingdom, then their fenders, so forth. We said they cast them in the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing teeth. I'm going to read one more verse, 43 now. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of the Father. When? When he takes out of them all things that offend and all them which do unrighteousness. When he takes them out, then shall the righteous shine as the sun in the kingdom of the Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now that was in Matthew. That wasn't in Revelation. And so the Spirit of Christ, he took the disciples by himself, and he said to the disciples, look, I don't want you deceived. I want you to understand how this is. He said, there's some people here that just don't make it. All right? 1 Corinthians 15:50, we've got two more and we'll stop. 1 Corinthians 15:50. Now I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Now think a minute. We've been through this, so you should have the answers already, but unless you don't, let me tie it up for you. He is saying here what I just said before, that we can't really come in and inherit the fullness of that kingdom until we die, until corruption has given forth its body, and we are given a new body, the body of incorruption. Because it didn't say that the body of Christians cannot inherit the kingdom of God, because we do. But Jesus, who had a new body, says, behold, I have flesh and bone. He no longer had blood. Because not only had he shed it on the cross, but with his new body, he lived by the life of God that was within him. And that body had no need of the blood, which is our life. Because he said, the life is in the blood. And when the body has no more blood, it has no more life. You're gone. You're finished. And so when we decompose and dematerialize, when he gives us another body, we are no longer living under the law of life of this world. We are now living by a higher law. And only in that higher law and in that higher capacity, listen to this, can we fully come into all the kingdom of God has for us. All of its atmosphere, all of its glory, the full potential of the king reigning in our life, the fullness of the bride relationship, everything that we come into, everything, we cannot fully inherit it. We cannot fully come into it until after we're dead, because flesh and blood cannot inherit. Flesh and bone can, but flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Now you're saying, why is it that we can come into our inheritance now? By the power of the Spirit, we are given windows from time to time. And the more we develop, the more we obey, the more we walk in unison with God, the more the windows are, the more frequent the windows are, and the longer they stay open. Where that glory of God and heaven and his atmosphere and the king ruling in your life, where you surrender your entire life to him, and you just become his body, where he moves and walks and lives through you. That can actually happen on this earth. But still, you're not in his fullness. We don't still come into his fullness until after we're on the other side. So that, I guess I had one more here. This verse should have been before and not after this, but let me just add it. In Galatians 5:21, actually, this is the continuation of 1 Corinthians 6:10, where it said, no thieves or covetous or drunkards or revelers or so on, effeminate, adulterers, idolaters, and abusers of themselves and mankind, so on and so forth. Then we have Galatians 5:21, where we have the fruits of the Spirit, which are the atmosphere of the kingdom. And then we have Galatians 5:21, says, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you now. That is, before he told them in the Corinthian church, now he's telling the Galatian church. He said, in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And so tonight we've covered those who don't inherit the kingdom of God, and we've covered the fact that the kingdom of God is in us, that the Spirit of God is in us, giving us the earnest of our inheritance while we're in this world, and that we share this world with the devil. And that many times, even when we don't know what's going on, God protects us, he keeps us, and when he does things for us so wonderful like this morning, there were things going on in the background. Many times the devil would like to keep us in an erect state, and God, what did I do? It's your turn now, feed me. And God slams us down, gets us down low, and there was the window waiting for us down there. So don't ever complain when God gets you down low. Sometimes when you're down low, it's your best seat in the house. Splat is the next one. Amen?